Hello and welcome to the Vivian Rudd Show. So delighted to have you. It's a radio podcast and video show. I'm Alicia Doss, and I am beyond delighted to welcome the luminous Colette Baron Reed.
Hello. So excited to be here, and we're kind of matching.
We are kind of matching, yes. It's a synchronous moment.
That's right. Right in time for moving into Capricorn and just leaving that wonderful solstice energy.
Exactly. So I will tell you a little bit about Colette Baron Reed, who really needs no introduction, but her introduction is so entertaining. I'm going to read it. And then we're going to have a beautiful, soulful, spirit-led conversation. So, beloveds, Colette Baron Reed is a best-selling author, internationally acclaimed oracle expert, spiritual intuitive, personal transformation thought leader, business strategist, artist, and educator. Girl, you have rage. In other words, she's unemployed.
Are you?
She's overqualified. So she's the founder of the Oracle School Experience, Oracle Palooza, and the Dream Quest Platinum Mastermind. Oh, and she's also a member of the Transformational Leadership Council, which is like the Avengers, but for self-help gurus. Author of 19 best-selling Oracle card decks with over 2 million sold worldwide and 7 books, Colette's greatest joy is teaching people they can have a direct and personal dialogue with the universe to help them create their most fulfilling lives. That's really beautiful. I love your humor.
That's actually really funny. So we did have a very humorous bio because I don't really take myself very seriously, but I have accomplished a lot of things. I was also a recording artist as well as
I know.
A lot of different things. And so I was like, yeah. Like make a joke about it. But it's funny. I've been doing this work for 36 years now, full time. So I like to imagine that there's been some accomplishments.
There's been many accomplishments, my friend. Many, and I love that you are really truly a Renaissance woman. And I'm sure we have to acknowledge the beautiful Pomeranian in your life.
Oh, the little Bizou, yes.
The little Bizou.
She was sleeping and now she's awake. And yes, this is my little soulmate, Bizou. She has to sit on me because she has, she's old, right? So she never used to do this all the time because she's old. So she has to like have something touching me at all times.
That's really beautiful. I mean, that's sounds like you're her emotional support animal.
You know what? I went to Portugal for 3 months this past year and I've never been away from my dogs ever. So for longer than 2 weeks at a time, right? So, and then we had a nanny who would come stay with us. But, my husband and I thought, let's go to Europe and just leave them with the nanny bird. They knew her and whatever. And she set everything up so beautifully. And I was a basket case after 3 weeks. I was like, I can't be without a dog. I can't. I have to go home. So I went home early. Actually, we went there for 3 months and I managed to stay for 2 months. And I just said to my husband, I got to go back and see the dogs.
Oh, I so understand. I have fur babies myself.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, my love, we're going to call on the light, which is how we begin the show. And then we will talk about more inspired things. So, everybody, if you are not driving, just close your eyes and open your heart. If you are driving, then you're going to practice multidimensional consciousness. And we just now, beloved Holy Spirit, we just open into the light of the Spirit, into the light of the Christ, into the light of love. And by whatever name you know that which is divine, call it forward now, knowing that in this collective intention, miracles can occur, and we can lift the planet at this pivotal time. We ask that each one present be blessed in every way. We ask that this beautiful conversation be opened into the light of the Holy Spirit, infused with light, infused with love, that Colette and I be conduits of divine intent. In every way, we open to the great archangels, to all manner of spiritual assistance, as we touch heart to heart with each other, with all those listening, with all those who will hear the archive on the radio, YouTube, and podcast. Truly, truly, beloveds, we are one. May this conversation lift you. And so be it. Amen. Many. So I am so excited to talk to you. I have heard so much about you, seen so much of your work. And I don't even know where to begin, but I think, of course, let's start with your very recent book, The Art of Manifesting. Show it to us. Yes.
Show it. It's such a beautiful color, too. I love it. Yes, this is my, to be honest with you, I think, you've been around. My dog, she's going to pee on the carpet any second. Okay, well, we are a dog family here. Anyway, this is my favorite book, and I'll tell you why, because it literally combines everything that I have learned in the entire time I've been on this spiritual path. And, you know, I got clean and sober 40 years ago.
Yeah.
And what that is where two things happen simultaneously or parallel. One, you know, I devoted myself to an extraordinary spiritual path, recovery, and spiritual awakening that was very, very true, very practical, very present. And at the same time, I, outside of hanging around church basements with other recovering addicts and alcoholics, I ended up going to Unity Church. And so at Unity, I learned and understood the concepts of manifestation as seen through the eyes of a number of the ministers there, the had written books like Catherine Ponder and mm-hmm. other of the original New Thought teachers, like Florence Scovel Shinn and, you know, like just the OGs, right? And
yes.
So that became like, that was parallel for me. So changing, because I had to become someone else. Like I literally had to change my life. And I did one day at a time. And at the same time, I recognized that I was a partner in co-creation and that I could have a conscious, direct relationship to the material world where I was engaged in its outpicturing, if you will, right? Mm-hmm. So that I wasn't staring at something outside of myself, that it was a part of me. Mm-hmm. So for the past 40 years, and I started doing this actual work 36 years ago, but this has been a fascination of mine and a commitment of mine also to teach people that they already have this. You have a direct dial. Because source is in you. You are in source. It is not separate from you.
Right.
So that is really at the basis of everything that I do. And with the question of who do you need to become in order to have the life you say you want? Because it is all about becoming. It's not about getting anything. It's becoming.
Yes, exactly. That's beautiful. I'm going to directly quote you because I love this quote. And it's very much aligns with my, I've been doing this work for decades now, and just not nearly as publicly as you, but full immersion in the spiritual path and process. And so this is such a gorgeous line. Most people try to manifest by telling the universe what they want. I teach you how to listen for what the universe wants for you. Your vision is powerful, but spirit's vision for you is perfect.
Right. Yeah. Oh my God, yeah. And I mean, yes, you can have an inspired thought and a desire, because typically it is the inspired desires that are the ones that count, right? The ones that just come out of an ego or coming from scarcity or need to control things typically don't work out. But when you have an inspired thought and you have a lock on and you go, okay, you know, this would be great. So how do I pursue this? And the universe winks at you, go, well, it's not how it works. But then it shows it to you when you don't care anymore. It's pretty.
Yeah. That is exactly my experience. And you know, I think it's a dance between making it happen and allowing it to happen. The male, female.
100%, because we have to be active. We're not passive participants in this. We don't sit back and say, I want that. And let's see if it, you know, it's not Uber Eats, right? Like the universe is not Uber Eats.
Right.
Oh, it's not Uber Eats.
Right.
You know, but I think the most uncanny thing that I have discovered is that you know, that's the concept of how synchronicity, and it hit me actually just a few years ago, because I've been teaching this for years in different ways, different form, mm-hmm. always with some type of art form attached mm-hmm. to it, because it's how I learned it, right? But anyway, so the idea that most like vision boards, for example, I run a vision board challenge every year with Hay House. Last year, we had 60,000 people at it.
Amazing. I have been on that. It's beautiful.
Like tons of people. Last year, I finally posed the question, because I always want to move this, evolve it, because we're all evolving. They're like, you know how we typically say this or something better now manifests for me. You
right.
Know, timing. So that's kind of like saying, okay, but I'll take this but or something better, but that's about it, right? I'll take right. this or something better. Well, what does that mean?
Symbol.
We never put space on the board yes. for mm-hmm. spirit. So
right.
It's zone. The zone of synchronicity now has been such a key portion of me teaching vision board. I'm going to be doing it again January 6th.
Beautiful.
It's a big free event again to show mm-hmm. people how this actually works. Because when you are putting your focus on surrendering to that zone, the synchronicity zone, then you can just step back and go, I wonder what spirit's going to send, right? Like, perfect example. So a few months ago, just when the book came out, I was my hot tub. I call it my cauldron of magic because that's where I get all my best ideas. So I'm
right.
Now, I have never been the kind of person, I've never chased fame and I've never chased, I've got a great life. My life unfolds exactly as it should. But a lot of my friends have had New York Times bestsellers. And this is the first book where I actually think it could be that, right? So
right.
I'm hot tub thinking New York Times. Why not? So I go in, I go inside, I do my little drawing, my little doodle, and I put New York Times. I write it like NY mm-hmm. Times, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I call my head of my brand and I said, guess what? I decided, yes, I think I would love to have a New York Times bestseller. Ha ha ha. And so we both laugh, like maybe one day. Hey. So we leave it.
Right.
2 hours later, I get Beth Grossman, as you know her.
Of course.
Sending an email, the New York Times would like to invite you to come and teach the art of manifesting to their staff, which is even cooler. Like it, I was like, New York Times, because the form, right?
Yeah.
Synchronicity was, that's the form that spirit had in mind for me.
Yes.
It's not about the New York Times bestseller, if I get it right. But it was like the universe went, yeah, you want a connection to the New York Times? Here.
Yes.
On this guy's desk.
Yes.
Make that happen. So it was like weird. And I'm like, oh my God. And then I laughed because I went, it's exactly what I asked for. Something to do with the New York Times. And I let it go laughing. And so, like it boomeranged so fast. And then of course I met with them. And we're doing it in February. And we'll put out an email because we're inviting everybody. Because it's their Healthy Times program, and really it's like showing people how this works. And, you know, that alone, so it's not really about what you get or even the form in which you get it. It's about how the universe speaks back to us. Mm-hmm. It's about how we are in a dynamic relationship and conversation with a conscious universe. And that alone is enough that we know we're being witnessed, that it's like, oh, okay, you know, like it's not at all what I had expected. It's not what I had asked for, but it's exactly what's right. And and you're going to always find one piece of it is identical to what you said. Like, what are the chances?
New York Times.
Yes,
especially 2 hours later.
And I told them when I got there too, I said, oh my God, it's so nice to meet you. You're never going to believe this. Look at what I did. And they're like, yeah, that's so wild, because there he was, you know, book on my desk, and I was very fascinated, and I wrote her a letter, and there she said it. It's just like all like a boomerang of, you know, that the way that the waves of the universe works.
Yes.
You know, and it's always for me. Now, this is how it's worked for me. When I know it's in service to something greater than me, it's really likely going to happen. It's
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right now, I'm the New York Times thing has happened, so you know what I mean. Like the universe answered. Okay, you want New York Times? Go teach them something.
Yes,
it's not the bestseller. It's not that. Mm-hmm. It's something useful. We're going to do this because this is what's right for you. And I'm like, so we need to trust that in this conversation and whatever it is, because we rehearse it. Like, you know, you can rehearse it and have that elevated emotion about how you want to feel. And honestly, with this book, all I wanted to feel was that people would get it, that they're recognized, that they restore their agency to make choices, and that the universe is always winking at them, right? And that they may not get exactly what they want, but you are going to see that this is, you are not alone in the universe ever. You are never alone, and the universe is listening. It's responding, right? And it's responding in the way that is right for, perfect for you, right? And that alone is enough. Like, that's amazing. That to me is the miracle, is that, like, oh, what? Because, and I've done, we tested it for 2 years, you know, so it's like, okay, is this a fluke? How is this working? And again, it can be very specific, you know, like when we were looking for an office in Toronto, I was convinced it was in one part of the city, and we kept seeing these perfect places because we needed a place to also sleep because we live out of town. And think, okay, this is great. And all of these things were so perfect and so and amazing. We had everything that they were looking for, and they all said no. And there was like five of them. And I'm like, okay, there is something going on here. So
yeah.
I'm not seeing it. There's some, so I'm going to do a drawing. So I do my drawing, and I describe how I want to feel, because that's really the point. It's not what I want. It's not the function of the form.
Yes.
How do I want to feel? And I also knew that I had to be near water, because I knew that water sustains me. It's when I look at water, I'm a water baby, I'm a Cancer, but I just saw it in my mind's eye that this would be by water, or it would be not happening at all. That was all.
Right.
Because I also know, I always say, take it away from me if I'm wasting our time.
Mm-hmm. Like,
make it so crystal clear, this is not for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good with that. So the most perfect place comes up, and we're like, hey, right after I'd done the drawing, there was this place. So we're on our way there with my realtor, and I said to Mark, watch how this is going to work now that I have the drawing. Well, they cancel us. No way there. So he's like, really? And then I'm like, but oh, geez. And then the realtor said, well, there are these two units in this building. And I was like, I don't want to go there. There's construction there. Why would I want to go there? I could see construction. I don't want to see construction. And I don't even like that area. And why would I go there? Then it was a nice day, and Mark was like, well, we're here now. And I was like, okay. So we go into this building, and we go up to the unit, and we have a very long numerical address, and all the numbers in a row were the code. The six numbers were the code to get into the unit, like my six numbers. I'm like, are you kidding me now? So we go in, and
wow,
it's perfect. But it's a little expensive. And my husband goes, you know, this is great. Yes, but it'll strap us. Why don't we just go to the other? And I'm going, no, it's perfect. Look, it's soundproof. You couldn't hear the construction. So he goes, let's look at the other one. A little more modest. Walked in. Every window looked directly at the water. And I was like, oh. And it was 11-11. Did us on the spot. Shook our hands. Here you go. This is it. Boom, boom, boom. And that's where I'm sitting right now, because I'm in the city, because it has really, because we don't have great internet way out in the country. So it was such an, but the thing is that I didn't want to come here.
Yeah.
Didn't like the area. There is tons of construction, et cetera. There really is. But they made this place completely soundproof. I can hear nothing. And when I look out this unit's window, I see water, and I see the kind of construction, though, that looks like very lively and happy. And
awesome.
And the other thing is, I have two little dogs here in this area, and I didn't even realize I had drawn this. So I was putting these little paw prints that are walking along what looks like a boardwalk. Well, I didn't know this had a board. This had a boardwalk, too. And the sun rose in the exact space in the drawing where I doodled a sun.
Ooh.
That's an odd purpose. I like
here.
Right here, because it's the east. So it's pretty incredible how these things match. Again, not what I would have wanted.
Yeah.
Smaller than what we wanted, but right sized for us. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So when we surrender our want and surrender form and just stay curious, because and also always be willing to let go completely. That's when it can happen. And the bigger things take much longer, obviously, like the, you know, career goals or, you know, the kind of things that you want to, you have to become someone different to actually have those things that take.
Right.
Time. But sure, things are fun when you do the short term stuff and you're like, well, that's really trippy.
Yeah, that's beautiful. What a great story. So in looking at manifesting, and just as a tease to our listeners and viewers, we're going to have you lead us through an exercise in a few moments. But I want to look at, just for a moment, two concepts with manifesting.
Sure.
So, you know, my book is Your Angelic Ancestry, and I ended up talking about how, you know, how angels don't have free will. Archangels do. Humans are born with free will that angels evolved to. And we evolved to that constant remembrance of God that angels are born with. So as we access our angelic ancestry, we open to that constant remembrance, coupling it with our free will. So the thing that I love about your manifesting is you're utilizing your hopes and dreams, your desires, your free will. But then you step back and go, okay, Lord, you know, I know this is a co-creation, which is a beautiful, sovereign part of humanity. This is a co-creation, but you have a greater vision for me. One of my favorite quotes on this is, Lord, I've lived all these lifetimes for me. This one I'll live for you.
Right. Yeah.
And with a manifestation, how do you incorporate that? Like, you want to visualize it, attract it, make your vision boards, but then step back and surrender to the universe's manifestation. How do you navigate that dance?
So you're not asking for anything to come to you as much as you are being grateful, being steeped in gratitude for the experience in advance. So you're actually having it, right? You're not wanting, you're releasing your desire. So we get into a state of total and absolute gratitude first. And so, the free will is the, so I believe that we receive our inspiration, right? The inspiration means of the spirit. It means we're inspired, right? So if I have an inspired desire, that means there's a blueprint of success in that already. But I have to take action. My free will is, and my free will is, I need to put one foot in front of the other. Like in my case, I'm almost 40 years clean and sober. I have to work my...
Congratulations. That's incredible, by the way.
Well, I don't do it by myself, right? And I have to work my program. I have to, my spiritual sobriety starts every day. Every 24 hours, I get a new reprieve, right? So I have to do certain things, that sovereignty of the human, right? But surrendering to the divine, letting God do its thing or their thing, his thing, whatever you want to, however you want to say it. But that there is this need to allow something better, because I acknowledge that I have a limitation. So my limits are what I think I know, what I think would be good for me, right? What I think I want, right? And so surrender has to be baked into it. Giving it over to God doesn't work otherwise. Because if I'm just chasing something, or if I want something, I'm looking for it to provide me with something, like an agenda.
Right.
So in my book, it's like, discover why, what's the why behind your desire? You know, and when you do get it, are you going to want it the same way? Because a lot of people don't get what they really want when they get the thing they say they want. It's not what it was to begin with. So how do you want to feel is the first question. You know, oh, if I were to have this experience, your vision of, or your description of how angels operate. So angels also come in, or your guides, or however, you know, who's ever listening to this, how you see yourself helped by other helpers. Because you can say, oh, the angels came in and gave, I have a parking fairy or a parking angel. You know, like, it's just like, I align myself with these things. And one thing I will say that is really important, manifestation, the art of manifesting, because we use an art technique to focus in on our feeling state, it doesn't take away suffering, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't take away life on life's terms. It is it you manage your life, yes. navigate it, both and. So, yeah. you know, you don't get control over anything. You know, I think a lot of people come to the concept of manifestation because they look for control over their lives.
Mm-hmm.
They want a promise of I'm going to get this thing, therefore I can be certain. And certainty is there is no such thing. The only certainty that I know of is that there's a power greater than me. It's not me. And that that power greater than me knows better than I do what I need to experience in order to become the person that can serve to the highest, for my highest good.
Right.
You know, and
so. Exactly. And it sounds like, so for me, I love the beautiful teachings on manifestation, but not all of them put in that aspect of for the highest good, like mm-hmm. for the greater good. And as you said, when you know that what you are wanting is to be that conduit of spirit for the many, that's when the magic happens.
Yeah. When we say there's a prayer, one of my favorite prayers is relieve me of the bondage of self so that I may better do thy will be done through me. Right. So it's, you know, it's like make me a, like the St. Francis prayer, make me a channel of thy peace. So I'm asking to be a channel. So yes, I have these wants. I think I want these things. Right.
Right.
To decide, work through me, how that's supposed to look, what it's for, like, is this right? And if it's not, I'm good. So it's kind of a, it brings us more into humility,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think humility is essential. It enables us to, you know, when we say let go and let God, that gently observing differences to like allowing ourselves to see it's like a good orderly direction or seeing ourselves in this world with others because we have to live in the world with others. We don't create reality by ourselves. We're attracting everybody. So, yeah, I don't want to ever create something that's going to hurt somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Yes, beautiful. So, now, the one thing I love about your teachings, there's many, but one thing I love is, so for me, it's about not looking outside to angels, but your own. How are you an angel? How are you a messenger of God? Your own archangelic ancestry. And so I really hear you encouraging people, you know, to know that they are, and depends on what one would call it, they're a messenger of God. They're a channel of God.
Yes.
They're a conduit of God. Like, we all help each other. We walk hand in hand. You know, as Ram Dass says, we're all walking each other home. But it's really like to be empowered that they can go directly to the spirit. How do you empower people to do that, to go directly?
I don't empower anybody. They empower themselves. I don't have any power to empower people.
Mm-hmm.
I share what has worked for me.
Mm-hmm.
I share what I've studied. There's a ton of science behind this as well, too. This is, you know, spirituality and science can meet each other. There's a way in which we operate in the world where our spiritual lives are enhanced by this, the method in which we are created, mm-hmm. you know, how we broadcast our thoughts, feelings, and beliefs into the universe and how the universe responds back to us, etc. But, you know, I think it's the choice, like the question, like, how do you want to feel? That's the real question. It's a really a question somebody needs to ask themselves to say, well, I don't want to feel like this. Well, if you want to feel something else, if you want that other thing, whatever it is that you're rehearsing obviously isn't working because it's the thing that we rehearse over and over again that keeps showing up in the outer world. So the action is you empower yourself when you really start to develop a conscious contact to a higher power. That's what I believe. And it's been my experience. Now, obviously, people are, it's not their experience. I'm only sharing mine. I only teach what I know and I only teach what I've experienced. But I know that when you are in that dynamic relationship and you make it your primary relationship, because we were first spiritual beings before we were human, you know, like that's what you experienced, right? So, like, hello.
Right.
But we did choose to come here. I always get a kick when people talk about ascension. I'm like, you're not going to ascend anywhere. Like, here it is right here.
You're right.
You got your boots on the ground.
Yes.
Spirituality needs to be practical in the material world right now, right here. You can ascend after.
Right.
It's because we came here to learn. It's like spirit needed us in this form in order to experience itself in form because it's formless. The spirit is formless, source is formless, capital S, God is formless, like mm-hmm. shows up in this world. And we are in the world. We want to be in the world, but not of it.
Exactly.
So, and that is how people choose their empowerment. And also one last thing, I think we are getting overly conditioned by, and we've all been conditioned by societal norms, by family history, by our ancestral origins, by even, you know, ancestral traumas that get passed down, or these ideas that we have about life, cultural, social, etc. And all of those are learned things. We came in this world 1000% knowing that we're connected to spirit, knowing that we have angelic ancestry, knowing that we are spirit first, human second. We know that. And then it gets learned out of us.
Right.
And so our true empowerment is that memory, remembering that back. But we can't do that if we keep allowing, or we keep allowing ourselves to be conditioned by algorithms, by the things that we keep exposing ourselves to, like online and stuff. We have to become very conscious of what it is that we're digesting, because not all of it is nourishing. And much of it, it's like we're being told what to see, what to think, what to buy, what they're like, what we're, you know, this polarization that's really been conditioned into a lot of us. I think that we're seeing the results of it, and it's not benefiting anybody that I know, right? I think it's really important to wake up and remember, oh no, this is a choice. You know, even though it looks like we don't have choice, even though it looks like you only have so many, this is what you're allowed to have or do or whatever. Anybody can create a different reality for themselves if they use their imagination wisely in service to a greater whole, in service to the God of your own understanding, in service to something greater than you that you allow to lead you, right? And it will never harm others. It'll never be to harm others, ever, ever, ever. If that's what you're hearing, you're not listening to the right
thing. Absolutely. Absolutely. That is so beautiful. And I love what you say about boots on the ground. Like my favorite expression about grounding is, we're not grounding our spirit. We're bringing the spirit all the way in here. So that we can navigate this beautiful, God-centered, spirit-infused level. This is not all of who we are by any means, but this is part and parcel of spirit. And there's a lot to be learned here.
You can't escape it. Like, that's the other thing. It's like, I find it fascinating. It's that we came here to experience this world, the tangible world.
Yeah.
At this time, we experience all kinds of different levels of different dimensional experiences in our immortality, in our immortal evolution of a different kind of spirit, right? The your personal evolution. Mm-hmm. And also we return to source, right? And then we come back again in some kind of form, if you believe it. But ultimately, at the end of the day, you know, the escapism that I hear a lot even with the concept of manifesting, it's like, it's get the thing, it's instant. It's like Uber said, and it's also very performative. You know, there's a lot of performative spirituality that you're seeing online that doesn't address the core root, the need to root down into where we are and really discover what's meaningful. What has true value? What is meaningful? We are all connected.
Yes.
We are. Like, guess we are. Where can we bring that back? Where can we remember that? Where can we become responsible to those things again? And then the miracles happen. Miracles are amazing. And they happen for anybody.
Absolutely. And in the most unexpected places. And so really we are being lived, and it's really about getting out of the way and letting spirit guide us and letting love lead us.
I love what you said. We're being lived. Who is living me? Isn't that cool? What that you said that we are being lived.
Yeah.
Right. Anybody here ask themselves, who is breathing me? Mm-hmm. Who's living me? Right? Who is this? It's not the small self that thinks it's the boss. It's something greater than you could even imagine. So, and I think that the fun, It's kind of fun how we were built, though. We were built to not see it, right? So we spend all, we born seeing it, we spend the rest of our life trying to remember that one specific thing that we know. Like, one of the reasons why I love so much writing this book, The Art of Manifesting, because it brings in very childlike and very kind of actions, because prior to actual spoken language, we drew.
Yes.
Like, you know, 600,000 years ago, we saw that we have photographs in the book of the earliest known human art.
Wow.
In India, that were round circles and wavy lines, which is what the book's based on, is circles and wavy lines, right? The frequency lines. It's fascinating. And remember, when people met each other from different tribes and they didn't have the same way to speak words, they could draw.
Right.
Right? They could draw. Yes. So drawing and shapes are part of our ancestral memory and brain function.
Right.
So we know that when we move our arm and we're drawing like a four-year-old,
okay? Right.
Well, we were like showing, look, the finger painting I did. Wait, look what
exactly.
That's the feeling, is the curiosity that we have when we're a kid. And wonder. So that sense of wonder that gets conditioned right out of us, we need to bring that back. Your comment about being lived, I love that.
Thank you. Well, that is my experience. That is my depthful experience. So I love that you talk about the Indian. I'm half Indian, by the way. I did not change my name to Das. I was born with it. I love how you talk about the circles and the wavy lines. And to me, what you're doing, bringing us back to drawing, thank you so much, because we're so, you know, glued to our devices and we have our laptop stapled to us and et cetera. And going back to hand, pen on paper. Pen on paper, it's bringing this ancient art form, literally, into our modern world and marrying the two. And I love that because to me, when we go into dance and we go into art and we utilize our bodies, we are stepping back into our primordial selves, which I think helps us into divine remembrance.
And our earliest ancestors knew how to do all of this. They would pray to whatever, you know, gods, their language, whatever they thought was running the universe, because it changed from place to place or whatever. You know, they would always say in advance, thank you in advance for the successful hunt. Thank you in advance for the rain.
Yes.
For this, I'm celebrating what is to come because I'm saying it now to have the experience, but they knew how to do it. They drew it, right? We saw this in the cave drawings, et cetera. I mean, these are ancient ways in which people have communicated with a conscious universe to see the outpicturing of their desired experience. You know, it would always help the tribe, the people, the community, which were small, right? You know, this had to help the community that they were doing it for, right? Or their families or whatever. And so that's been forgotten. And even the whole manifestation movement, it being in the head. You can't just visualize. And I know people have also been taught that if you get it so perfect, every detail, figure out every single detail and whatever, and then visualize that, you're going to get it. Well, might get something.
Right.
But are you going to get what you hoped it was going to give you?
Yes.
See, that's the real question. Like, what is the agenda behind the need for that experience? Be clear about that, because that's the thing that you're looking for. The thing that you have an expectation for may not give you that. You think it's going to give it to you. It's like, oh, I'm going to get, if I get that, like on my perfect example is my music career.
Yeah.
I only wanted to pursue music. I failed miserably at it until I was 40 and I didn't care about it anymore. Right? It's too crazy. But it was like, I wanted my music career to redeem me in some way. My parents were academics. At least being a recording artist would be cool.
Right.
You know, and like, look, my daughter got a record deal. You know, that was okay. But being an intuitive was like fringe and so not okay. I went to a private school. My parents, you know, raised me in a very privileged environment. And I was supposed to be a lawyer. So I had a chip on my shoulder that I wasn't Really?
The same upbringing, by the way.
Right. Very hardworking immigrant parents.
Yeah. Immigrant parents.
Yeah. There you go. Right. Mm-hmm. And then and thinking like, oh, all this woo-woo, I don't know. But Spirit had a plan. And I know that I was meant to teach it because I experienced both, again, in parallel. Mm-hmm. And I know the difference between chasing something and getting it like 20 years later, right after chasing it for 20 years. And I just had to give up because it was so horrifying. And then I get it in a form that was right for me. Mm-hmm. And I had two albums out on the EMI music label that became Universal Music. But the career itself was depressing. And I was not cut out for the music business. And I was too fat and too old and too this and too that and too loud and too not and not enough this and more too. Oh, yeah, it was awful.
Sorry, honey.
No, it's fine. Because at the same time, and I never, ever, ever, ever pursued this work. I kept telling people, oh, I don't really do this. I'm really a singer. Don't come back next year. Like, I don't really do this, right? I don't know. No, this is just something I do because I like it and it's fun and whatever. And I love to teach. And yes, I had these things, blah, 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 but I won't be here because I'm going to be a singer. And then I realized, well, wait a sec. No, wait, then Hay House came calling while I had a record deal out. This was 25 years ago or 20, because I've been with Hay House for 20 years. And the rest was history. And I just kept following the crumbs for it, going like, wait, what about the music? Wait. And you want to hear the coolest thing?
Yes, please.
Okay. So my parents died. They back to back. My father lost all the family's money when I was in my early 30s.
So sorry.
Yeah, it wasn't his fault. It was just a terrible, terrible tragedy. He died of a stroke and my mother died of brain cancer because she was so afraid. And they died paupers. So it was very sad. So I had, where am I going with this? Oh, yeah. So they never saw any of this. They see it from the other side, right?
They do.
I know they do. So I ended, one of the big dreams that I had was that I saw myself, and I really did see this. Like, it was just kind of like how Eddie Murphy said, I just knew that I was going to be famous. But for me, it wasn't that. I just knew I would be in the place called Massey Hall with a microphone in my hand, hearing my music and standing in front of thousands of people. Well, they were Hay House, booked Massey Hall. I was in front of 3,000 people with a microphone in my hand and they were playing my album.
So it was just not like you pictured it would be.
No, I was doing readings and talking about the universe and how it worked and telling people my experience and what I learned about spirit and, you know, and what I, it's like, and I, it hit me mid, right in the middle of the thing. I'm like going, holy shit, I'm here. Yeah. They had changed the name to Roy Thompson Hall, but it was this, and I was like, wow. Yeah. The universe knows exactly what is right for me. And that's not what I had wanted at all. I would have never in a million years said that was possible. Why would I do that? So,
but you saw it. You saw it.
I saw it. Like, that's the thing. Because when people come to manifest, you don't just want something. You're here because you know you're meant for more. Everybody that comes to my work, I tell them, you are here because you know you are meant for more. What does that more look like to you? And we will start somewhere in my bigger life that I believed that I was meant to have. I saw those things.
Yes.
But they weren't the things that I translated them into a different form.
Yes.
When they occurred, they were nothing at all the way I thought. And they were more than I could have ever imagined or hoped for.
That's so beautiful. And that is really, that's why I said we're being lived. And we're going to get there sooner or later. Not one soul will be lost. But it's like as we, and I think we do get those seedlings of what's going to be in the future, even with the Palisades fire, which of course has been devastating, beyond devastating. While I was going through different aspects, I saw it and went, oh, it was always going to go this way. Because I was actually going to sell my home right before this happened, and then I didn't. But I saw that it was always going to go this way. And how can I rise out of that? And so many miracles have occurred. The fire started outside my window. And when, you know, when this whole city was burning and we were watching it, you were seeing it on the news, and at one point I got down on my knees and Spirit said, you know, and I said, please, if it's the highest good, please, I've worked my whole life to buy this home. And I saw, angels standing on my roof and they said, it's going to be okay. And they showed me this white teardrop and they said, your home is in that teardrop. Well, sure enough, when all things were said and done, well, the fire map was all red, which means gone to the ground, decimated to the ground. There's one white teardrop and my home is in that teardrop.
Isn't that amazing? Angels are wild. I want to talk about angels for a second since it's your jam, and I had a wild experience. So in the early days of my work as an intuitive, when I first started, I certified as an aromatherapist. Mm-hmm. And I used to take people through a guided meditation while I worked up there, you know, the Kundalini chamber with my hands, right? So they would hold themselves here and then I would talk them through this and everybody would all have these visions and stuff. And it was the coolest thing. I mean, I was like, this is so cool. Anyway, so in the middle of this, with this woman who taught me, who was actually a phenomenal psychic medium who now is quite a well-known a psychotherapist, or I think she's a hypnotherapist. I can't remember what she became. But anyway, because we were not really, you know, we didn't stay in touch. But anyhow, so I was going like this up her back, and all of a sudden I felt like I was being pulled out of my body. Like I could hear my voice down there, and I could feel myself being lifted out of my body. Like it was the weirdest sensation. Like I was with, and all of a sudden, I'm in front of this giant door, and I'm like, oh, and I kind of crawl under the door, and I get up, I stand up, and I see this black and white checkerboard floor, and these big archways, like were huge, like stone, but they really weren't stone, but they were crystal, and I wasn't sure what they were. Anyway, and I'm looking up. And there is this like 60-foot angel that scared the shit out of me. I was like, what is that? And I'm like, and it looked at me as it knew everything about me. I was completely exposed to this being. And how I knew it was an angel, or I concluded, was it picked me up. It scooped me up. And its wings weren't really wings. It was filaments of light. And I was poking at it going, these look like wings. Oh, my God. I know everybody. This is a real angel. And I'm poking at it. And it was laughing. It laughed and hummed. It hum-laughed at me. And I was like, what the hell is happening? Oh, my God. And then it took me and threw me in the air because it was 11 of them. Then he took me down this corridor. And then there was 11 of them in a row. And they were bouncing me around like I was a ball. And up in the air I went. And then all of a sudden I went through this beautiful violet, looked like silk. And then I ended up back in my body and into my feet. And I went like this to my friend. I'm like, and she said, you're never going to believe what just happened. I went, oh, I need to tell you what happened to me. She goes, let me tell you first. I wasn't here anymore. I was in front of this giant door and there was a ladder and I went, looked through the keyhole and I saw this giant, the back of a giant angel. And it was walking down a corridor and I crawled to the hole and I went down and I followed it. And it was in a circle with these other big giant angels and they were tossing a newborn baby. And I'm like, so that has never left me.
Yeah.
And I could never summon it.
Right.
It was the beginning of, it was very early on. I had just started doing readings at that time. Mm-hmm. And it was the turning point for me where it was like, okay, I have a purpose. And I remember being really depressed one day and I meditated for 90 minutes every day. So it was like after, I think it was 1980 something when the convergence, because I got sober in 1986. So I think it was early 90s when it was this whole harmonic convergence. Everybody's doing angel dances or whatever. And I never got, nobody came. I was kind of depressed. Like, where are you? You big, tall thing. And then one day I was just with nothing, not even thinking. I was in meditation and all of a sudden I was gone again. And I was on the edge of this beautiful cliff. And I'm terrified of heights, but I wasn't scared.
Right.
All of a sudden, that wing came over me. And they said, it's going to be okay. And I was like, I am so protected. I am so protected. And I think, because you and I talked about Fred, which is a book, that in my last book, You're in the Right Place. But I feel, and again, this angel was very distinct. It was tall. Now I realize it was the tall as a building. So maybe that's only 30 feet, but it's really tall. It's like, it was as big as a 2-story building at least. But there are other, right? So when the chorus of voices that came through to me after doing all those readings after shooting my TV show, and they called themselves Fred, they were angels. They were angelic beings, right? Mm-hmm. And they were like getting my attention, like, hey, this is pretty funny. But, and I know that all of us have access to this. And your book obviously is about that, right?
It's right.
Like, these are our ancestors. These are part of our human. We aren't alone.
Right.
We need to remember that. For me, it comes very haphazardly. I'm not one of these people that can summon a spirit guide. I can't say, come here, angels, show up to me. They just like on your roof, right? You know,
it's right.
Like when you need them, here I am.
Right. Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you for sharing that experience. It's so, so incredibly gorgeous. And yes, that is my work. And it's really about how, and you know, just to take a second, it's really about how, of course, you said we come from celestial roots. So in my experience, we actually come from the angelic, which predates the human by millennia, by many, many years. And it's much more proliferate. There's many more angels. And then we come here not as angels coming into this human incarnation, but as archangels, because as mentioned, archangels have free will. So you put an angel here in flesh, it would be too difficult with our free will. So it's really that's our roots, right? As archangels, and that portal was closed for a long time so that we didn't go try to squeeze back into our pastel robes where our hectic job was to remember God. Do you know, but to be present here and engage in this level with all the beautiful lessons that are here, but now to open to that, to those archangelic gifts and that archangelic remembrance so that we can bring it all present, and expedite our own spiritual consciousness. You know, this is how it comes to me, and it's really very much about how it comes to each person,
right? Because they'll speak to you in the language in which you will understand.
Exactly.
Right? And they'll come to you like, whenever I've had these experiences, they've been enough for me to go, whoa, like, wait a sec. Like I get these weird pictures in my head going, okay, I have to decipher this. What does this mean? And then I'm like, oh, that's the only way they would have got my attention. Right. And they show up in the way in which they know we can receive them.
Yes.
They will get our attention in the way that they can. So that's why I always tell people, too, don't compare your story with somebody else's.
Right.
Right. Your angel is going to show up in the way it's right for you.
Exactly. And it's all God, spirit, the universe. It might appear as an angel or a fairy or a circle or a symbol or a sensation, but it's all the same. That's my big passion, is that we're all on the same spiritual path. And it leads the same place, nowhere or everywhere, you know, it leads to love. And how do we speak that same language, which is really the language of the heart, which goes back to your drawing. I mean, that's a universal language.
It is. And it reminds us, because everything begins in gratitude. So we do, in the book, we actually go through the process of activating our paper, putting universal life force energy there so that we identify that this is a symbol of the greater universe. We set our intention, we step through a portal, and then we have the frequency lines, which represent how we communicate to God, spirit, angels. You can do one for angels. You can do whatever you're communicating with, it's going to answer you back, right? So that's representation of that. Everything is a symbol. But the emotion... and I invite everybody, is this a really quick moment? So
please,
you know, if you were to take a piece of paper and draw an intention but you want to infuse it with a feeling that you want more of. All of us have a sense memory of this. Each one of us would have a different one. So if you've ever had a baby or a child, right? The first time you set eyes on that baby and smelled the baby, right? Something occurs where you are in awe of a miracle, right? I mean, typically you will feel like, holy moly, what just happened?
Right?
The amount of love and gratitude and amazement, et cetera. I have those feelings when I rescue a dog. Where I feel, where I meet them first, I see their eyes. I'm like, oh my God, I know in here. I don't know how this happened. This little being is in front of me. My heart just goes wide open and I'm in awe of a miracle. Some people, you know, think of it as, you know, their first taste of freedom, right? Like whatever it is, you have a memory of that moment where gratitude marries awe.
Right?
Gratitude and awe, reverence for wow, right? Mm-hmm. Nature can do that, a trip in nature. And so to spend a few minutes just being in that feeling state and rehearsing it by saying thank you. And you just draw circles. You just say thank you. Just keep that in mind. You can do that for like no more than 5 minutes. And already you have changed the way you feel. You see the eyes, the world, a fresh pair of eyes. And it's such a short thing and anybody can do, and just keep rehearsing that feeling. And what will happen, especially if you do this every day, what happens is you start to retrain a part of your brain, which gets, by the way, it gets engaged. It's neuroplasticity happens when you do this kind of exercise, right? You engage the brain and it starts to make neural pathways, and the reticular activating system of your brain, which is the part of the brain that sorts out what's important to you, lights up a runway and says, want more of that feeling? Because I'm going to match it. I'm going to show you where it is. I'm going to light it up and there it is, because that's going to match. And so you'll have more and more experiences that match the feeling state. And that is an extraordinary exercise, because most people have forgotten that's accessible to them at any time.
Beautiful. So beautiful. I have one quick question. Then we're going to move into meditation, and I would love you to start with your meditation, if you would, of preparing us for the holidays.
Sure. Oh, sure. So
that would be a different one.
Yeah. Yes, I will. So as we know, the holidays are coming up, and for many people that celebrate, they get together with family, and family can bring up a lot of stuff. And so a really, really quick meditation is called Get on Your Bird. So if you can just tune into that anxious feeling for a second, like, because we're
going to guide us through this.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm
going to
do
play.
Beautiful. Okay. So just tune into the feeling you typically have when you feel stressed and overwhelmed. And you want out. It's like that feeling like, oh, I can't take this.
Yes.
Whatever that is for you, whatever that feeling is, just kind of allow yourself to touch base with that feeling, that part of you that can feel that way, and ask, if this were a place I temporarily inhabited, what would it look like? What would this place of stress and overwhelm and argument and discontent, or just stress in general, what would it look like? You might be standing in a burnt down forest, or you might be in an abandoned warehouse here, but you're somewhere. And Alicia, tell me where you are.
I'm looking at the burn areas of the Palisades.
Right, okay. So if you were able to leave that place, would you leave it?
Of course.
Okay. So I want you to call upon a winged creature. It'll be a bird, a dragon, an angel. Whatever's going to show up is going to show up. Don't try to make it be anything. It's just going to show up the way it wants. And you'll be invited to get on its back. And just allow it to take you high, high in the sky until all you see is tell me when you're there.
There.
Okay. What's the difference between how you feel here and how you felt looking at all the burnt spaces?
Divine destiny. I actually saw in that space, it suddenly became iridescent colors. And okay. I actually saw that you and I had had this conversation before.
So look over the wing of the creature that you're on and notice how large or small the initial place is.
Very small.
Right. Does can't impact you at all. Can't hurt you.
You know.
So you can see that there's more available to you, right?
Right.
Right. So you can just open your eyes.
It's beautiful. And instant.
We don't fight against anything. Mm-hmm. We don't say, I need to feel better. We don't say they need to stop talking. We don't say, I have to get out of here. Mm-hmm. We just move our mind and we say, this is where I am. I'm going to visualize the place as a metaphor. I'm going to call a bird. I'm going to get on that bird and I'm going to go high in the sky. And then your body completely shifts. You no longer have the same relationship to what's going on in front of you because you are no longer engaged in it. And it's a really quick way. You could do it right in the middle of dinner. You can even do it with your eyes open, but it's fast and you don't try to make any of it wrong.
Yeah.
You don't make anything wrong. Nothing is ever wrong. It just is what it is. So we're going to choose another is what it is. Right. And the bird, the reason why something with wings will always show up, nothing showed up for me, is because in our earliest memories, like remember the first humans could mimic animals. We could swim. We could climb trees. Mm-hmm. We can dig holes, right? We can forage. But we can't fly. And so our earliest memory of anything that flies tells us there it's an intermediary between us and the divine and the sky.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So immediately we're going to go, well, that thing's safe. That's special. That's magical. That's sacred. Of course it is. I'm going to go somewhere. Of course I'll get on its back.
Right.
We don't deny it. There's a part of our primitive brain that will never deny that and that it is going to rescue us.
That is profound. Thank you. Yeah, it's amazing. It's brilliant. Thank you.
You're so welcome.
So we're going to take a few minutes to move into a quick meditation to try to encapsulate a little bit more of what you shared. I thought it's going to be somewhat brief, I think. And then we'll tell our beloved listeners how to find you and Art of Manifesting. So I'm actually going to take a leaf from your book and combine, if it's okay with you, your beautiful sharing of your angelic with the Art of Manifesting. And I would love for you, if you are inspired, to just to jump in as well, if you're inspired.
I happen to love, I'll be honest, I love voice. Uh-huh. I love the way you have an incantation. So I'm going to just let you do it.
That's beautiful.
Beautiful. And support you in the closure of our great conversation.
Beautiful. You're a sweetheart. Thank you. And beloved, so again, just to open your hearts, and if you're in a place where you can do so, close your eyes, or just know you can have profound experience with your eyes open. Again, practicing that spiritual awareness, even in the midst and motion of life. And we just open now. Still on that winged presence that Colette so beautifully guided us into. And let's just open, as the angels are here for us always, to that extraordinary presence she described. And I see an angel that has come present for us, and I think through Colette specifically, but for all of us, called Afea Indaya. Afea Indaya. Which is the archangel of the divine feminine, that divine mother, bringing us right within her, that we could be reborn again in this moment, all the conditioning that Colette spoke about, that we know so well, that it just falls away like rose petals from our fingertips. And if you would, just cup your hands in front of you. And in your hands, just place any conditioning that might remain, any limiting beliefs, any stress. That which you are ready to let go of for the last time, here in this field of miracles we've created. Close your hands tight around them. And just lift your hands up and give it to the Spirit. Opening in every way to God's divine presence, to that blessed presence of Spirit that is who you are, not outside of you, not distant, but right within you as you go directly. Just allowing yourselves to be held within the womb of the Mother God. Be aware that everything is possible, and now connecting to that primordial source, that ancient source that Colette has guided you to, right back to those caves in India where your ancestors created circles and wavy lines. Connect to your true essence, your ancient essence, that beautiful birth of humankind. Go right back to that source and see yourself as that artist. Because, of course, there is no time. There is no space. So we are present here. In this modern world, practicing ancient spiritual precepts, using our whole body, drawing the experience we have already been gifted with. There is an expression, Baruch B'Shem, which means the blessings already are. So open your heart to express gratitude for Spirit already imbuing your life with the experience that you want. And so just allow yourself to see what that is. Choose something quite specific. What is that experience, that feeling, that state? And see yourself here together, drawing the circles and the wavy lines, drawing that, and perhaps you write a word in the middle of that, here in our shared space, and you draw it in light. And now just send light to the manifestation of everyone's drawings to your own. And give it to the universe. And give thanks for how the universe will bring this to you in alignment with the highest good. And get excited. Because truly, you are. You are the presence of love itself. And so give blessing. Amen.
That was beautiful.
Thank you. To me, that was both of us.
Yeah, it was a nice energetic quality here.
Yeah.
Very, very nice.
Yeah. I would love for you to tell folks how we know your book, The Art of Manifesting. You can find everywhere. Please tell us about your book, how to participate with you. You're gorgeous. I want to give a personal plug. You must join on January 6th.
Yep. January 6th, the Vision Board Challenge.
Hey, tell us all about it.
Yep. So I do it every year. This is my sixth year doing this. And it's a free event. It's a couple hours. I teach everybody how to actually draw a vision board. You do not have to be even vaguely artistic, but really those sacred marks to make this come alive and be really personal to you and, you know, give you all the different parts to it. It's really fun. We, like I said, last year we had 60,000 people. So we get tons of people. And the more people that come, the more profound and powerful your experience will be. We also do a group meditation and do some card pulls. It's really great. Also, so if you're interested at all in trying my Oracle cards for free, you know, you might not know about them. So you just go to my website for free. It's ColetteBaronReed.com and you can try those. But you can also, if you go ColetteBaronReed.com/book, we give a lot of free resources to help you with this, including a fabulous, fun workshop I did with my partner in the book, Anna Denning, a phenomenal artist that I created the method with. And so we make it fun. You can follow along. You have access to everything, plus screensavers and all kinds of fun tools. So yeah, so that's there. We do everything to make it easy for you. Mm-hmm. So you can start and have fun. And the best thing to do with this book is to do it with friends. Ooh. You know, like have a party at your house and or like make a commitment and go through there's a 7-week program. You do it with a group of friends. And it's pretty amazing when you see the results of this.
Beautiful. And so book for us again, The Art of Manifesting. Of course, you'll have all this in the show notes. You can just click on the link to buy this book. But I love that this is a radical departure from how most people manifest these days with a vision boards.
Very, very different. Yeah, it's not because you don't manifest what you want. You manifest what you are. So who are you becoming? You know, in order for you to have the experience that you say you want, maybe you need to summon a new aspect of yourself that you've never experienced before. But it is all about the feelings and it's all about gratitude. Really.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for joining. Any parting thoughts?
No, because I'm late.
Okay. Here we go. I'm part out. We're sorry.
I have to go to my next meeting.
Okay. Thank you so much. I'm sorry to keep you so long. Thank you.
I love it. You're amazing. I love you. Okay.
Thank you. I love you. Bye-bye. So thank you so much for joining Love Your Live. Please do join next month with our beloved guest, Robert Holden, Dr. Robert Holden. It's always such a delight to have him with us. And Your Angelic Ancestry is on pre-sale now. So please do go to aliciadas.com/book. That's my name, aliciadas.com/book, B-O-O-K, where you can get all kinds of bonuses. You can get the first 3 chapters right now until the book is released in July. You can get a course that gives you a lot of the content of the book. That's all for free, and an invitation to a special summit with some thought leader friends of mine who will be joining to just create a very special experience. And that's exclusive to you when you order the book. So I hope you'll go ahead and pre-order the book at aliciadas.com/book. Or if you want to order it from anywhere books are found, you can do that on that site. But if you order directly from Amazon or wherever, that's totally fine too. Just send me an email, which is in the show notes, and I'll make sure you get your bonuses. So again, aliciadas.com/book, and you can choose where you would like to buy it. There's all kinds of retail suggestions. Thank you so much. Until we meet again, live your love.